What's going on, everybody? This is Patriot Underground here. I just wanted to take a minute before we begin the show to remind folks to check out PatriotSwitch.com. This is an incredible company. Click the link in the description and begin your journey. Make the switch today to purchasing your personal and household products from a patriotic company that shares your value system and that doesn't funnel your hard-earned money directly into cabal evil operations that we all know are designed to destroy us. This company has a retention rate of well over 90% for a reason, folks. Because once people make the switch, once they discover how good the products are, once they get a sense for how good the customer service is, and they experience all the different perks associated with making the switch that are too incredible to walk away from, a vast majority of people never set foot inside of Walmart or Target or any of the big box conglomerates to purchase the items that they need to keep their lives going and support their families. Make the switch today, folks. PatriotSwitch.com. Click the link in the description, and God bless. All right, everybody, enjoy the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Patriot Underground. Today is November 12th, 2022. Thank you so much for joining me, folks, to discover the truth beneath the surface. As always, I really do appreciate everybody out there taking the time to listen. So today I'm going to provide a situation analysis report. I know it's been a while since you folks have heard from me. I haven't really put out much content of my own since the midterm elections, and I wanted to share some thoughts with you today about where we are and indeed where we're going. And we all know that this is an epic time. This is an incredible moment to be alive. And yet, at the same time, all of us are dealing with a great amount of frustration, with a great amount of disillusionment. I'm going to touch upon those points tonight. I'm also going to reflect a little bit on my interview with SG Anon. So thank you again, folks, for joining me. I really do appreciate it. Now, we understand that despite our frustration with the midterms, that this has never really been about the U.S. elections. And SG Anon actually pointed that out the other night. And he mentioned that this has really been a sideline objective to the overall Q operation, which has really been about defeating evil, which requires exposing it first. And as we know, that process takes time, and it's been painstaking. But no mistakes can be made. Now, I'm persuaded at this point that the deep state is still a formidable adversary. I think to a significantly higher degree, given where we are now, than I had initially thought. And I also think that much of what we're witnessing at this point in time, and really have been witnessing all along, is pantomime. But that's not to suggest that the white hats are just sitting back and waiting to come forward for no apparent reason. They're waiting for the exact right moment to take that kill shot. Now, I wanted to believe that the stalling, for lack of a better term, had primarily to do with awakening the public at a certain point. And I still think that that's a major aspect of what's been happening and where we find ourselves even now. But as time has gone on, I'm more inclined to believe that the enemy has more teeth and more assets that needed to be smoked out than I would have liked to believe. And we're already starting to hear about some very high-profile names in the so-called conservative mainstream who are now being exposed. And I'm going to refrain from mentioning those specific names at this point, although I do believe that many in my audience probably know what I'm hinting at. But I want to make sure that this information is accurate before I put it out there. But one way or another, the infiltration is everywhere. Certainly not just within the Patriot community. And as SG pointed out the other night, because the country has been under provisional military control since January 17th of 2021, these elections are fundamentally illegitimate. And of course, we know that fake Biden is nothing more than a puppet president of a bankrupt corporation, much less the commander-in-chief of the United States. And we also have to remember that all military command and control has been transferred to Space Force, which had its generals handpicked by Trump, whom we can't also forget was handpicked by the White Hats to be the figurehead of this global military operation. But throughout this process, there's no doubt that people have been waking up. And certainly, the fraud that we saw on display once again the other night has increased the number of folks out there who are now having their sense of cognitive dissonance outweigh their programming to a significant enough extent where they're starting to explore the truth. Now, that's one side of the coin. The other side is the anger and the disillusion that many, I dare say probably most, patriots out there are feeling right now. Folks are fearing the worst, more and more. And while my faith in the plan hasn't been shaken by this, I can completely identify with the moments of fear and frustration that all of us are experiencing. And I do believe that there's a window of opportunity to right the ship before losing we the people in the process, in the sense that people find themselves, for whatever reason, unable or unwilling to fight on. And I'm going to speak to that directly a little bit later towards the end of the broadcast tonight. But it's important for folks to remember that the midterms have proven once again what we've always known, which is that the fix is in. Like Juan O'Savin says, DC is already fixed. There's no justice in the Justice Department, et cetera, et cetera. And this is why I didn't think that we would see the red wave scenario that so many folks were talking about that would lead to a patriot-led legislature that would actually have teeth. Rather, I believe this was intended to demonstrate yet again that we cannot vote our way out of tyranny at this point, and thereby further awaken the populace and simultaneously provide the military with the much-needed public support and legal backdrop or rationale or justification to come out of the shadows and take the kill shot. And I do believe, as it's been widely reported, that the military has documented the fraud in this election in real time. And I guarantee they're not going to waste time going through any corrupt legal channels this time. That's what we saw in the wake of 2020 as a part of the tyranny pantomime, so that we could all get a sense for what we're dealing with. So now that it's already been pre-established by precedent that there are no effective stopgaps within the civilian side of the system, the military is going to bypass that system altogether and communicate directly with the American people, and indeed the entire world, about what's been going on and about what they've documented since 2016 in terms of the rampant fraud in our electoral system. And you know, it's worth pointing out that even right now, we don't know the outcome of many of these races because of the mail-in ballots. In another week, there could be several scenarios which suddenly emerge where the election result is flipped by this tactic in order to bring the simmer to a boil in America. And then you add in a little Trump arrest to that recipe, and you've got a powder keg that only the military can attempt to quell. You see how it all works? One way or another, when the military gets involved, the deep state loses. And that's why nothing can stop what's coming. But you see, a big part of the military operation is getting the public to accept their presence on the streets. And as we know, there are a number of ways that that could go down. Could it be a false flag? Absolutely. A Trump arrest? You bet. A nuclear scare that the mainstream media is narrative hyping as we speak? For sure. Any of these scenarios and many others are in play, or at least were during the planning stages, depending on where you are on the fluidity of this operation and what your philosophy is behind who's calling the shots at this point. It could be any or all of the above, or perhaps it could be some wild card that nobody's talking about. And even though that may not be as intriguing or satisfying to talk about, it makes a lot of sense given the obvious need for tactical secrecy. But regardless, folks, we need an event. It's going to happen. Will it be Trump's announcement on the 15th? Is that going to play a role, like SG speculated was possible? It could. There are a lot of folks out there who are naturally just thinking that he's going to announce his candidacy for president. But then, what does that do to complicate plans to arrest him? Like Juan O'Savin suggested, Could it be that the Matador, once again, is baiting them to charge him in more ways than one, literally and figuratively, before it's too late to make an arrest? Is that the strategy? Well, it could be, but we're going to have to find out. But whether it's true or not that the White Hats had initially planned a public takedown of the cabal on Inauguration Day of 2020, but decided not to, either due to a dirty bomb or some other threat, and or the nation being too divided at the time, one way or another, it's become very clear to me that a key aspect of their decisions before moving any piece on the chessboard is to make sure that they have their fingers on the pulse of the American people. We have to be ready. And the same is true for every other nation on earth. And I do believe that that readiness is an entirely different conversation 2 years later. SG pointed out that this strategy has been redevised many times to allow for the awareness of the awakening masses and where we are at any given point. And of course, we've heard similar perspective from many other insiders, that the programming needs to be sufficiently reversed, or at least in the process of, in order to keep the world in one piece given the enormity of what's coming. 80 to 90% of the population need to be on the same page in order to quickly put down resistance, rather than a similar situation in a heavily divided population that would be uncontainable by the military. Because like I've said before, God forbid, once a real civil war starts, I don't believe the military would be able to do much about it, other than choose sides, and then we'd see a loss of life so staggering, it would make the COVID deaths look like nothing in comparison. So yes, I do believe this path that we've gone down has been the lesser of two evils on multiple different fronts. Now, we keep hearing that the enemy is going to be forced at a certain point to make certain moves that will destroy their optics, which is essentially the only thing that's keeping a lid on this pressure cooker. So what does that mean, really? Well, I think as time goes on and the White Hats are systematically destroying their infrastructure and their leadership and their illicit revenue streams, while at the same time awakening the public to all of their crimes, they've become increasingly desperate out of sheer terror of being exposed. But at the same time, they need to maintain their confidence game in order to steer the narrative, which is their only means of protection. So in a sense, the cabal, what remains of the cabal, is in kind of a catch-22 scenario, that the White Hats continually are ratcheting up and intensifying, which is why with every passing day, the situation gets closer and closer to coming to a head. And then, of course, we have Elon Musk, who, as SG explained, is playing a very crucial role that will lead to the takedown of big tech and expose specifically Twitter's role in stealing the 2020 election and presumably the 2022 races as well. And not only that, they'll be exposed as coordinating with violent groups like Antifa to commit domestic terrorism. So this is just another arrow in the quiver of the White Hats that has caused absolute panic amongst the enemy, which critically is forcing them to accelerate their tyranny because it's the only option for survival and escaping justice. But they'll fail. And they're failing with every passing day, but the epic crash is coming. Which leads us to a conversation about the QFS. Now, I think one of the interesting things that SG pointed out is that the word inflation in many ways is kind of a misnomer. What inflation really is currency devaluation. That the value of currency is really what determines the cost of goods. And he took us back in time to the days of the Knights Templar. We have been given a system where our currencies are not based on any real standard measure of value. So historically, what these banks have done is essentially provided a service, albeit fraudulent, that made wealth more efficient and that in the sense that it could be transferred and traveled with relative ease and convenience. But it wasn't a system where there was a standard measure of value between two individuals and their wealth, per se. But rather, it was a governmental standard which was set by those at the top of the financial pyramid who can determine the supply of currency in circulation at any given time. And keep in mind that they control this entire charade by the amount of currency they dump into the system or remove from it. And on top of that, they determine the interest rates and the availability of credit. So if you have a small amount of currency in the system, it has a great amount of value. And of course, the opposite is true. And at the same time, you have to remember that fiat currency is based on nothing but the promise of the institution that issues it. And we know exactly the types of individuals that we're dealing with. These are the same creatures who have hoarded all of the precious metals and have absolutely no accountability. They don't have to disclose how much they have. They don't have to disclose where it is. And that, coupled with their control over the banks who assign value to the currency, has enabled them to essentially do whatever they want. And of course, the path moving forward is to end that financial stranglehold, which really, in essence, is the glue holding this debt prison together. And the key to that is to ensure worldwide, decentralized, and transparent systems of weights and measures to which currencies adhere to. And to that end, during his first term in office, on February 4th, 2017, Trump signed an executive order to begin the process of moving the U.S. Treasury to align itself with the quantum financial system. So the QFS is designed as a consciousness-based, precious metal-backed system to prevent corruption, but also as a system of standardized weights and measures to which every currency worldwide will be accountable to. And this will be managed at an AI level on an immutable ledger that is entirely transparent and decentralized. So the QFS is already being rolled out in its early stages. JSARA is taking place through the BRICS countries, who have already forced other nations to do business with them in precious metal-backed currencies only. And this is, of course, forcing the dissolution of NATO, as I've discussed many times, because Western Europe is entirely dependent on Russian gas. And therefore, the stranglehold of the cabal is loosening, as more and more defections are taking place out of sheer necessity for survival. And Germany, of course, is the primary example. And as Germany goes, so goes Western Europe. So what's been happening behind the scenes is that the establishment financial system that is controlled by the cabal out of the city of London has been systemically taken down, while at the same time, the QFS has been parallel constructed to ensure the continuity of world economies once this storm hits, which we all know is going to include a financial crash. But on the other side of that crash, which is a controlled demolition, like I mentioned, is the rollout of NASARA and JSARA, which has been largely enabled by the recovery of the stolen wealth from the tunnels and the dumps. The alliance has repatriated all of the stolen treasure to revalue the currencies of the world and reserved much of it for humanitarian projects, like SG was talking about, to rebuild the infrastructure across the planet. And of course, in addition to revaluing our currency, the whole idea of this consciousness-based aspect of the system is to use AI to determine your resonant frequency and whether it's in a certain range in order to identify or detect the negative frequency of evil intent. So what this does is it prevents money as being used as a tool for evil or to finance evil in any way. And so any type of illicit revenue streams, which have been historically the lifeblood of the enemy, as we know, like adrenochrome, organ harvesting, child trafficking, and all of this wickedness will never be possible again because an individual can never hide their frequency. They can never hide or conceal or distort their energy. So the core of the quantum financial system is to deliver us out of this economic debt prison and into economic equality by empowering human beings in the sense that we are going to be given control over our wealth, over our money. Because right now, we have a system where we're completely enslaved by lack of control of our money and wealth. When you think about how financial institutions and other organizations that conspire with them can directly charge you fees, take money out of your accounts, coerce you to do business, and end up in contracts that are entirely one-sided in order to just function in society, that shows you who's really in control and where that control emanates from. The economic debt prison matrix. But this is going to go away. You see, folks, on so many levels, this has been all about breaking the MKUltra programming under which we were all ushered into this world. This false reality where the enemy keeps our frequency perpetually low and programs us with fear and trauma in order to enact some sort of control mechanism over humanity in an effort to herd us to our own destruction, while enriching them along the way and doing their bidding. That's what this has really all been about. The Q operation has been very effective at shattering this fear-based programming, which, as SG pointed out, is very weak and can be broken even by confusion, and certainly by an intense shock moment, followed up by truthful information. And that's really where we are right now. And so I do believe that everything I've discussed tonight and everything that SG talked about just a couple of days ago is a really accurate reflection of where we're going. And I have to say, folks, for me, despite all of the frustration, despite all of the anger, despite all of the disillusionment that I've experienced along the way with all of you, I'm all in. I'll never stop fighting in whatever ways that I can, and whatever ways that I'm called upon in order to see this war through. I consider myself at war with evil. Because like I said, that's what this is all about. Not the elections or any other myriad of issues that comprise the big picture. Not to suggest that any of them are not important. But at the same time, we have to acknowledge that each of these issues individually does not represent the entire picture. We all know what this is about. And so therefore, that's what I'm about. And nothing other than death is going to stop me from fighting on. My whole life has been a fight. And maybe that's part of the reason that I was chosen, along with others out there, to do God's work. Because in some ways, struggle is all I've ever known. And sure, I get weary like all of you. But I'll never leave the foxhole, because if I do, if you do, then who fights on? If not us, who? And if not now, when? Who's going to change the world? Who's going to educate in truth? Who's going to stand for our innocence and put it all on the line as God demands and as we have done, if not us? You see, folks, the way that I see it, I'd rather die than let evil win, no matter what it takes, no matter how long it goes on. Because you see, to me, even though I get angry, even though I get frustrated and disillusioned, I know that quitting isn't an option. It's not an option for me, just like it wasn't an option for those who came before us. And in a myriad of ways, our struggle in our own time, although unprecedented and horrific in its own right, pales in comparison to what it took to get here. We traveled a road paved by heroes, and we stand on the shoulders of giants, and we can never forget that. Now, I wish I could infuse my passion into everybody out there, but I understand that each of us are unique, and we differ in the sense of what we can process and tolerate at any given time, given where we are on our own journey through life. There's no denying or sugarcoating how long this has gone on and what it's taken out of us. And I do believe that more will be required. But as digital soldiers, this is the sacrifice that we make. We are serving something so much bigger than any one of us and are a pivotal aspect of the most wide-ranging military operation in world history. And folks really need to pause for a moment and appreciate the fact that I'm not overstating the epic backdrop of our lives. Regardless of who they are, historical figures leave us with great quotes. Winston Churchill once said, "If you're going through hell, keep going." This is no time to turn back, folks. We've come too far. Remember that I'm just an ordinary American like you, and I have no masters to serve, no agendas to push, no allegiances that compromise me. I tell you the truth as I see it. And often it feels as though it's not even me when I'm recording. I felt some moments of undeniable connection to the spirit, just as I do now. This struggle is going to come to an end, folks, just as all struggles do. And we win because God wins. Never retreat, never surrender. We have God Almighty on our side. And as the good book asks us, who could be against us? Folks, this isn't some pipe dream that Anon's cooked up based on some rogue conspiracy theory, as the mainstream media would have us believe. We have verifiable proof that this is a continuity of government situation we're living through. Derek Johnson, who I was supposed to have on last night, we rescheduled for November 22nd, he's explained the optics, the comms, the executive orders, everything Trump did to lay the legal groundwork for the civilian side of this operation to play out, going back to his first term, is 100% undeniable and right there for anyone to see. We're just waiting for the trap to be sprung on them. And even though it appears that this is going to be coming very soon, and I'm not going to gaslight the audience by acting as if we haven't been here before in terms of expectations, one way or another, this struggle is reaching its climax. So we can never forget the necessity of the fog of war that's caused all of this consternation, given what's at stake. And also, that as a key part of the plan, we have our own lines drawn in the sand that we will not allow to be crossed under any circumstances. We stand united as we the people. And an attack on the liberty of any of us is an attack on all of us, as far as I'm concerned. We're not going to live on our knees in the United States of America. That is a fate worse than death. And it'll never happen on our soil. But having said that, with no apologies, by the way, because it's the truth, I must emphasize and tell each one of you once again, civil war is not going to be our fate. God will not allow it. Our war is what we're fighting right now. And someday, in the not too distant future, I'm convinced that all of us are going to celebrate victory together as we walk hand in hand into the new world. Hold the line, patriots. You know, inside of your heart and soul, that the reason that you're here right now and listening to me is because the best is yet to come. God bless each and every one of you. I love you. Hold your heads high. Keep your spirits high. You are God's chosen, and this is not over yet, folks. Mark my words. All right, everyone. Hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. You can let me know in the comments. Please leave a like if you did. Also, please remember to subscribe to the different platforms I'm on. I'm on BitChute, Rumble, and Podbean. I'm also on Telegram and Truth Social. The links are in the description. Also, please check out the link to patriotunderground.shop. I have some great items in there. The Patriot Underground traditional logo, as well as the Eagle logo, which is very popular. I have it on beer mugs. I have it on water bottles, t-shirts, hoodies, stickers, you name it. And for everybody out there who's made a purchase, thank you so much. God bless each and every one of you. And thank you to all of my patrons. I would urge folks to consider becoming a patron. I always release my material first. Actually, I shouldn't say always, but I've committed myself moving forward to release all of my material first on Patreon. But I also want to assure folks out there that there will never come a time when my material, my content will not be free. This is for all of humanity. I just want to make sure everybody understands that each one of you are valued out there, regardless of whether or not you can contribute financially to what my mission is. But those of you who can and those of you who have, I'm truly grateful. And before I sign off today, I want to remind everybody to check out PatriotSwitch.com. Once again, folks, this is the best company out there for your personal and household products, the items that you need to keep your life going, that you're going to buy regardless, either from Walmart or Target or some other big box conglomerate. Why not buy it from a patriotic company? Why not align your financial resources that you're already earmarked to spend on items that you need with a company that supports your value system? Let's defund the cabal together, folks. Join the more than 2 million of us who have already made the switch, myself included, and I promise you, you will not regret it. All right, folks, thank you so much for listening once again. I'll be back soon. God bless and Godspeed. Patriot out.